Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles. And before you take your Bibles, let's just give Kevin Rice Praise Team just another good round of applause. I told Kevin as he was preparing to come and talk to him last week, I said, Kevin, we really, really need this. The church family's been so busy ministering, and we really need it. And I know I could say amen. And we could dismiss right now, but you'd say, absolutely not, Pastor. We don't want that. But let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans. And as you're turning to the book of Romans and to the book of Ephesians, let me ask you a question. How enjoyable is the Christian life for you? When it comes to your Christian life, your Christian walk, and your Christian experience, are you enjoying it? Are you enduring it? You know, when it comes to living your life and you see other people that are called Christians, would you be able to say that you're one of those persons that just absolutely enjoys the Christian life? Sad to say, there are so many individuals who are saved by the grace of God, and they're just enduring. And they don't really understand why they're enduring, and you may be one of them. You're just enduring the Christian life, or you're just waiting for heaven to come. There's nothing exciting in life for you to look forward to. And, you know, you hear other people talk about how exciting the Christian life is, and you're just honest in your own spirit, and you just say, you know, I just really don't have that much excitement with the Christian life if the truth is absolutely told in my spirit. And, you know, the reality it is, you can see it. You can see it on the faces of so many who name the name of Christ. So many who are professed Christians. Now, I recognize there's a lot of folks who are professors but don't have a possession. They don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ in their heart. They're not really genuinely saved. But there is a reason why so many people are missing out whenever it comes to the Christian life. It's not an excuse. It really is a reason. And the reason is they never have located, locked in, and are fulfilling their God-given spiritual gifts. If you'll take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, and then the book of Ephesians, I want you to listen carefully as I read the Word of God. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And then if you'll turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, I want to read only one verse there. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the saints at Ephesus. And he, talking about God, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully in the very outset. A lot of times individuals are really wondering in life why there's not really any joy in their life. They go to church, they leave church, they go back to church. And they're honest people. They live throughout the week. They do the best they can. But there's still that something missing in their spirit, something missing in their soul. And they'll evaluate their salvation. Am I saved? Yes, I'm saved. Am I going to heaven? I know that. And yet they still have this horrendous missing out in their spirit. And that may be exactly where you are in your life. God makes it clear in His Word that He has gifted every single person that is saved by the grace of God. That means that if you're a Christian, if you're saved, God has given to you a spiritual gift. Now, you say, well, you know, that's for pastors and deacons and, you know, that's for evangelists and all of those who do that. But I can tell you this, when you lock in and locate your spiritual gift, and you employ it for the glory of God, there will be absolute satisfaction in your spirit. Like I told you this past, last Sunday, one of the things that I almost thought about doing, I thought about just you know, staying in the one of the rooms back here, and letting it be 11:35 or so, and you wonder, where in the world is the pastor? Because there is a need for that person who is a pastor. Now, I want you to listen as we walk through this, and I want you to get your outline out, because I want to say this. You will never have any true joy in life until you locate and lock in on your spiritual gift. Let me explain it this way. I have one nose, I have two eyes, I have two ears. As a matter of fact, getting ready for the picnic this afternoon, my nose picked up on some scents in our kitchen. My eyes happened to see a few pies that was somebody happened to put on Facebook to entice because they said, you know, they'd got finished cooking. And after I saw the smells and saw those pies, but every one of us have members in our bodies for purposes. In other words, you have one nose, you have two eyes, you have two ears. What in the world do you have them for? They are to help you as a human being go all throughout your life, and they're there on purpose and for a purpose. You have two arms and you have two legs, and God has given us every member of our body. Now, why in the world do you have them? Well, now imagine for a moment me preaching this message on one foot. Or imagine me trying to preach without any use of my hands here's the point. God has given you a body, and your body works well when you use it properly. Now, imagine if I tried to read with my nose. Imagine if I tried to listen with my eyes. Well, that's absolutely impossible. I would be absolutely frustrated. And you see, imagine if I tried to get out, and sometimes I try to get out with some friends and maybe golf a little bit. But imagine if I tried to golf with my feet. Well, I'd probably be just as good. If I golf with my feet, he's using my hands. But here's the point. Every part of my body has been given to me by God, and he's given it to me for an express purpose to bring glory and honor to his name. But now, whenever I do not use my body as he designed it, I am in a mess. Now, imagine this a moment. Why don't you have three eyes? Why don't you have one right here and one right here and one right in the middle? Why don't you have two noses, one on the front, coming and one on the back as you leave, you know. Why don't you have four ears? Well, wouldn't we be a pretty sight? Well, if all of us had one, I guess it'd be normal. But here's the point. God has given you a body for the purpose so that it can glorify him. And every one of us that are saved by the grace of God, God has gifted us. He has given us a spiritual gift. And you have been given a gift, and the sad part about it is some of individuals are walking through life and they're just sort of floating along, and you're saying, I don't really enjoy life. I don't have any purpose. Listen, there is nothing more exciting than getting up with purpose. There's nothing more enjoyable than getting up and knowing you have a purpose in life, a purpose to live, a purpose in which you bring glory and honor to God. So the Lord Jesus Christ has said to you, now I want you to listen. You may say, well, I'm only 15, 16, 17 years old. You have a spiritual gift. You may not know what it is yet. You may be in the process of developing it. But God has given every one of us a spiritual gift. And so this morning, I want to deal with the spiritual gift of teaching. Because God has gifted us. And so, you know, you say, well, how do I know what my spiritual gift is? Well, you need to understand, and so that's exactly what we're going to do, because sometimes you will not be happy in church if you're not doing what God purposed you. Now, if I said, do you know what, I'm going to pause right now and ask one of you to finish this message, and I'm going to call on one of you. Well, if I pointed out, you'd say, please don't call on me, Pastor, because you may not feel comfortable standing up front. Now, I don't see what any problem in it. Kevin probably doesn't either. But the reality is you have been gifted by Holy God. So in this particular passage of Scripture, Paul is saying, I want you to understand, saints of God, that God has gifted you, and some of you, he's given you the gift of teaching. Well, what exactly is involved in the gift of teaching? I want you to follow along. Now, you'll be frustrated in your life until you find out what your spiritual gift is, and that may be why you're frustrated. You live every day of your life frustrated. You're not happy. You don't enjoy yourself. You don't enjoy your family because you're frustrated. Well, if you have been given the spiritual gift of teaching, I just want to share with you this morning just a few foundational principles of what's involved with the gift of teaching. Because every person doesn't have the gift of teaching, while some do. And I've had the privilege to sit under some of the best teachers and some of the seminaries and some that are not graduates, but they're just wonderful lay men and lay women who are teachers of the Word of God. So I want you to follow along in your outline. One of the realities of a person who has been gifted to teach is this. They absolutely want the truth conveyed at all cost. Because here's the reality. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you what? How in the world are you going to be set free unless you hear truth? Listen, there's a lot of preachers saying a lot of things, saying a lot of stuff, but what are they teaching? Listen, when you get into the Word of God, it is absolutely exciting because do you realize, first and foremost, that the God who created you wants to bless you? That's not what I'm saying. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. Do you realize that the God who created you wants to bless you and give you His abundance? But there is a requirement. And so one of the things about a teacher is this. He or she is very interested about getting into the Word and understanding and learning and knowing what the truth is. Listen, it's not just enough for somebody to stand up and say something. And sometimes, oftentimes, and sadly, we don't may not put enough emphasis on teaching because if you're like me, I had some teachers in school, in high school, and grade school that I absolutely didn't enjoy. You remember some of those? I never will forget having one, bless her heart, I won't call her by name. But whenever I would talk, you know, if you would say a sentence and you would say, you know what I mean, and things like that, she would say, no, I don't know, and things like what? And we would have to, I'd have to change my sentence, and whenever I was in her presence, she absolutely intimidated the daylights out of me. You know what I'm talking about, some of those teachers, and some of you, if you hear the word teach, you say, ugh, I can't stand to hear that because you had a bad experience. I'm not talking about somebody that's going to jump on you, but listen, we have a holy God who loves us and is absolutely wanting His best for our life. Listen, Jesus said, I came that you could have life. He didn't say, I came that you could endure life. I came that you could just barely make it through. And so many people are barely making it through and enduring life, all because they don't know the truth, and they don't know the truth because they're not willing to sit under a teacher who'll absolutely convey the truth at all costs. And that's exactly what a teacher does. Listen, a teacher is going to convey the truth. It doesn't matter if it's 10 people present or 100 people present or 5,000 people present. He is going to convey the truth. Why? Because it is truth that sets you free. I wish I could tell you where in my life, where I've been, where I've come to. Listen, when I was younger, I was so shy, and I've said this before. I wouldn't even ask a girl out on a date when I was in high school. And there was a very serious reason I wouldn't. Many of you know the answer to this. Some of you don't. I was afraid she'd take me up on it. And you see, the reality of it is when you learn the truth and know the truth, you change. The truth don't change. You find yourself changing. Listen, most of us think less of ourselves than what God does. Because, listen, the Bible makes it very clear that He created you in Christ Jesus for good works. And yet the person who teaches the truth, he is going to teach the truth no matter what. And he is serious about teaching the truth. That's why sometimes you'll hear a teacher teach and say, why does he go to all the detail to teach? Because he knows the way lives change. Listen, how many of you have ever been changed by a science book? How many of you have been changed by an algebra book? You were changed when you absorbed the teaching of the truth of God into your spirit. Amen? Or you just sat there and you didn't absorb anything. Now, listen to me very carefully. One of the things about a teacher who has the gift of teach, there is that yearning in his heart for people to get the facts. And you see, here's the reality. When you know the truth about yourself, man, you don't walk around moping. You don't walk around grumbling. You walk around realizing my dad runs the world. My dad owns the world. My dad calls me a son. And so a teacher wants to get the truth out no matter what. Second of all, a person with the gift of teaching, they want to present the truth in an organized manner. And, you know, one of the gifts of a pastor is also the gift of pastoring and teaching. And, but why is that so important? Well, every Sunday you'll look in your bulletin and you've got an outline because one of the things about the way we learn is systematically. And you remember in school how you learn? You know, if you didn't get it the first time, the teacher would tell you, okay, we're going to do it again. I never will forget, I finally got my multiplication tables. If you're, I guess you'd say old school, I'm getting to that point where I can say old school now. You remember you'd do 1 times 1, 1 times 2, 1 times 3, 2 times 1, 2 times 2, 2 times 3, 10 times 1, 10 times 2, 10 times 3, and we wrote them out longhand. Didn't have a computer or anything like that. But here's the point. Paul made it very clear, and Luke was a wonderful example of the gift of teaching. He said, I set out to write an orderly account of the life of Jesus Christ. Why, Theophilus? Because I want you to see the life of Jesus Christ. Listen, it was the desire and yearning of Luke to put into a systematic account the life of our Lord and Savior. Why? Because he had observed people had written about Jesus. There were other gospels, but nobody had written a systematic account. And so Luke, with that wonderful gift of teaching, he wrote so that other people could know. And that's exactly why a person who teaches, they want to set out systematic. Listen, when you have an outline in your hand, don't think that it's just put there for fun or to write on. I've done that for years. Why? Because it's a big deal to me that you have something to look at. Why? Because somewhere down the road, all hell is going to hit your life. All hell is going to bombard your life, and here's what's going to happen. When you know the truth will anchor you when all the winds and all the tornadoes come in life, and you have your soul anchored in the Word of God. And you see, here's the reality. When I anchor in the truth, when I know the truth, when I'm absorbed in the truth, when I get the truth in my heart, there is absolutely no wind, no wave, no anything that can ever blow me off target. You know why? Because I am anchored in Him, and there I stand no matter what. But you know what? So many believers who are saved by the grace of God, they don't know what they believe. You may not even know what you believe. And if you don't know what you believe, that's a shame. Because if you can read, you need to get in the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God. You need to absorb it. And that's what one of the things about a person who has a gift, get in the Word. Listen, you know, sometimes I'll talk to some people and they'll say, you know what? I don't know very many verses. And as I listen to them, I think, why not? Every one of us have a 24-day period. What do you do with that 24-day period? And see, a teacher is big on getting the truth in your heart. Listen, you know what Jesus said about those two men who built their life? He said, one built it upon the sand, one built it on the rock, and here's what happened. The winds came, the storms blew, and the man who had his house built upon the rock, he stood. Storms didn't blow him away. We've had some storms in the fellowship here recently with sickness, haven't we? Some of you are going through storms. Some of you have family. But you know what? There's something about opening the Word of God. There's something opening about the truth of God. And you see, person with the gift of teaching, he's not passing time. Because when you have nobody else around you, it's you and your mind and what you know. What do you know? What is in your mind? What is in that God-given mind that He's given you? Do you know truth? You see, a person with the gift of teaching, he's going to get the truth. He's going to give it out at all costs. And it was Luke's yearning and desire to get the truth out no matter what. And you see, not only that, but number three, a person with the gift of teaching places emphasis on every word. Now, you may not understand that. If you don't have the gift of teaching, if you have the gift of servanthood or compassion, you may not understand that. Sometimes I've sat under teachers and I thought, man, they're taking so much time and you almost get bored. Now, don't you answer this out loud, but do you remember those teachers you sat under too and they bored you to sleep? Now, I hope you don't say, you, Pastor. If you do, keep it to yourself. But you had those teachers. And I had a family member and I had the same history teacher. And even our history teacher would go to sleep in her own class. And this family member said, you know, when she would go to sleep, she said, I don't know why I did it, but I did. She said, I'd take a book and I'd drop it on the floor. And the teacher would rouse up and then she'd go back to sleep. She said, you know, Benny, I have to confess, I got brave. I didn't just do it with one book, two books. She said, at the end of class, I took about 5 books. She said, I dropped them on the floor. And she said, I don't think our teacher woke up. Now, here's the point. You have a life, and you don't know what's coming into that life. Some of you have absolutely no idea what this week's going to hold. None of us know what a day holds. And you know why a teacher is busy teaching? He's teaching because he knows that what you put in your spirit is going to matter. Listen, you know, there's a lot of people say, you know what, it don't really matter what you believe. Just be sincere with your belief. That is absolutely bunk. And you and I know that's an absolute lie. Amen? Listen, Jesus said, you know the truth. It's truth that sets you free. And a person who is teacher, they are big on every word. Why? Because every word matters from a holy God. You know, if I wrote you a will, and if I gave you a piece of information, and I said, you have, and you know, you have access to $1,000, and every word would matter. Well, let me just give you a situation where, you know, words were overlooked and ignored. Some years ago in college, a friend of mine and I, we was going to Lexington to pick up a friend of ours who was supposed to arrive at Lexington Airport. We got there, I guess it's about 5 o'clock, and our friend didn't arrive. 6 o'clock, the person still wasn't there. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Finally, we called whoever it was we could call, and they looked at the flight manifest because we was really concerned that something had happened to them. And they looked at the flight manifest and said, well, we're sorry, we can't tell you who was on there, but we can tell you that your friend was not on there. Earlier that day, as we was getting ready to leave, this friend of mine went to his mailbox and got some mail and put it in his pocket, and we was on our way. In his pocket, on the way to Lexington, that he failed to look at, was a letter from that lady. After we got back, he opened it up, read the letter, in which the letter said, "Dear Mike, I want to let you know that I have changed my flight and I will not be arriving on Friday. I have changed it to the next Friday." Now, as I heard him say that, I thought, why didn't you open the letter? We was traveling to Lexington, spent hours looking for somebody that had changed their plans. And we would have known better if we had looked in the book, if we had read the letter, that is. Listen, some of you have riches in store for your life, but you don't know it because you don't get in the book. And a person with the gift of teaching, he's big on getting into the Word, getting into the Word. Why? Because the Bible says, delight in the Lord and he'll give you what of your heart? The what? Desires. Listen, you delight in the Lord and he'll give you a good husband. You say, now wait just a minute. Bible doesn't say that. Oh, yes, it does. If you delight in the Lord, what's your desire? Well, I'm single. I need a good man. I'm single. I need a good woman. I'm without a job. I need it. Listen, the Bible says, and the person with the gift of teaching, they want the truth known. They want to get the word out. Why? Because it is the word that liberates your life. And you see, our Lord God didn't create us so that we could just muddle through life. And the sad part about it is, you look at so many believers and how are you doing? Well, I'm just holding my own. Pray for me, though. I'm just pray that I won't. Listen, if you're saved, you are a child of who? Say it. If you're a child of God, say this. I am, I will forever be a child of God. I have what he has because I'm an heir. Think about it a minute. What you have just said is truth. And you see, that's exactly what Paul wanted the people to know in his day and time. That's exactly what a teacher does. Well, look at number four. A person with the gift of teaching. And if you say, well, Pastor, this just hits me because this is exactly what I love to do. A person with a gift of teaching, they love to research and report as many facts as possible. Now, I've sat under some wonderful teachers, and I thought, where did you get all that information? And there is a gift of teaching. Now, you're sitting here and you say, well, I don't have that gift. Am I out of pocket? No, because yours is going to come because you have a gift. One thing that I pray the Spirit of God relates to your heart, it doesn't matter how old or young you are, you have been given a spiritual gift. And say a person with a spiritual gift of teaching, they want to relay the facts. And sometimes they'll maybe relay too many facts because, you know, I had a wonderful servant friend who told me some years ago, he said, you preachers remember that the mind will only intake what the seat will endure. And I wish I could tell you how many times I've wanted to preach to 1:30. You know, Don't look so concerned. I won't. But I know the mind will only intake what the seat will endure. And you see, a person with the gift of teaching, they want to get it out. Why? Because they know that it's truth. It's not just something from somebody. This is the truth of Holy God. For example, Galatians 6. Be not deceived. In other words, be not mentally tricked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that. What's big about the word that? Because we forget what we sow sometimes. Sometimes we sow ignoring and we rebel and we do one thing and another, but we forget that God's every word is significant. And you see, a person with the gift of teaching, they want to get the facts out. And not only number four, but look at number five. A person with the gift of teaching, they pick up on principles that aren't detected by others. Let me just go back to the one that I just mentioned. Delight in the Lord. Do you think that is going to happen some of the time? No. Now, some of you thinking that, well, now wait just a minute. If I honestly delight in the Lord, will God honestly give me a spouse? Yes. And I can tell you that because I know He did it for me. The lady that is my wife and been my wife for some 30 years, I prayed for her some years ago, long before. I prayed for her when I was 15. Didn't know who she was, where she was, or what her name was. But here's what I prayed for. I said, Father, I can remember the prayer to this day. I pray for a biscuit-making wife. Now, you think, and I've said this before, I was as serious as a heart attack with that. I meant business in that prayer because you know what that meant? That represented some personality type to me. I went all the way to Fort Worth, Texas, trying to find a wife. I came from Catlettsburg, Kentucky, came to Cumberland College, you know, and I went on to Fort Worth, and I kept thinking while I was down there, is that the one? Is that the one? Is that the one? Is that the one? Lord wouldn't even let me date while I was down there. I kept thinking, when I go back to my dorm, I thought, I wonder what Charlotte Williams is doing right now. I bet you she's sitting with her family watching TV, having probably a pop and a ham sandwich or an egg sandwich. You know how your mind works. But now listen. I prayed for what God wanted me to have. Now listen. You may not know a whole lot of the Bible, but here's what He says. And you can live and die by it. You delight in the Lord. You say, well, I don't know a lot of Bible, but I'm doing the best I can. That's all He asks. Delight in the Lord. And the word from Holy God is this. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You know why some of you don't believe that? You don't believe that He'll stand true on everything He says. And that's why so many people miss out. Listen, I can find that the person who has answers to prayer and person who doesn't, this person doesn't really believe. Listen, the Bible says in James, don't let that person whose doubts thinks he's going to receive anything of God. You pray and you pray seriously, delight in the Lord. He'll give you the desire. Why? Because that's a covenant promise from a holy God. That is an eternal covenant that is signed by the God of the universe. And if you have ever looked in the covenants of God, He can never break a covenant. Well, a person who has the gift of teaching, they know those, they detect those principles. It's not just reading. Listen to me real carefully. This is not just reading, folks. This is the Word of God. It is what it is. It says I have what He says I have. And that's why I ought to live every day of my life, and you ought to live every day in victory. You say, well, you know what? I've sinned and I've botched it. How many of us in here have not sinned? Raise your hand. Not a one of us. And the Bible says if we confess our sin, He'll think about forgiving us, right? No. That's what I love. He is a covenant-keeping God. Dear Benny, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Signed, Holy, Omnipotent, Jehovah God. And I don't know about you, but sometimes you think, Lord, Why did that go through my mind? Why did that happen? But see, here's what you do. You get on your knees before God. And you see, a teacher knows that because he's not a God fashioned after our fabric in our mind. See, some people have a God made after the framework in their mind. Some of us have a very humanistic God. Do you realize the God in your mind may not be the God in Scripture? Every one of us have a God in our mind. But is it the God of Scripture in your mind? And you see, when you compare the God that's in your mind to the God of Scripture, does it parallel? You know what a teacher does? He first of all investigates himself or herself. And you see, one of the things about a teacher, lastly, they're patient. I never will forget a professor telling us one time in a class, and he said to some of us young preachers, he said, "Now you preacher boys, be careful." He said, "When you learn something and you preach it, remember how long it took for God to get you to understand." Sometimes we're not patient. Parents, you ever impatient with your children? Why don't you understand? You know, sometimes we'll say things, "Don't you understand?" And sometimes we'll say things like this, "Why don't you grow up?" Well, they're trying to. There's a whole lot of things that I understand now past the age of 40 and 50 that my dad told me when I was just a teenager. And you see, here's the reality. A person who has the gift of teaching, they know that person who's serious to listen. Now, question is, are you a serious listener? See, I can teach, but here's what I can't do. I can't listen for you. I can't do your part. And I can tell you this. Some of you have experienced heartache and heartbreak and disappointment in your own life because you didn't listen. But here's what happens when you listen. Life changes. It's not because you're better than anybody else, but you know what? When you listen. Let me give you an example. You're traveling down the road at doing the speed limit, and here comes a state police car, lights on and everything. You're not a bit afraid. You know why? You're doing 70. He goes right beside you and pulls somebody else over. A few days later, you're going down the road, and here comes the policeman again. Here, lights on. Pulls somebody else over. You feel all right. You know why you feel all right? Because you're honoring the laws that God ordained by the land. Now, listen carefully. Do you not think that the blessings of Holy God will rain down on your life when you honor His Word? They will. If you don't believe it, I challenge you to go home and read Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, God tells you what He will bring to your life if you listen to Him. Here's what He tells you. I'll bless your children. I'll bless your income. I'll bless your life. You won't have sickness. You won't be one prone to diseases. I will bless you. But you know what will happen if you don't listen? In verse 15 and following, he said, here's what's going to happen. Seems like you can't ever get ahead. Seems like you're always sick. Because here's the reality. There is that divine disfavor of God. Now listen to me real carefully. Beyond the eyes that you and I can see, these little old human eyes, is a holy God sitting on His throne above the universe. He is the King of kings. He is Lord over all. And He is watching your life and my life. And here's what He's watching. Is Benny Bush's life living in such a way that he's favoring me so I can bless him? Is Don Elmore's life living in such a way, in favor to me, that I can bless him. And you see, here's the reality. Watch. You know the people that you just, why are they blessed? Because they put a big premium on obeying the sovereign of the universe. Now, is that to say any of us can't die at any given time? No, but here's what it is saying. God says, I will make it my business to bless you if you obey me. Let me ask you a question in closing. Would you say in your personal life, as a man, I want to talk to you a minute. You're making it your personal business to live in favor to God so that he can bless you. You're a man of honesty. You're a man of integrity. You're a man of obedience. You're a man who is serious about your walk with God. Ladies, you're serious about your walk and your integrity. And you're serious about being a parent to those children God's blessed you with. God said, it will come to pass that I will bless you. And you know what? How many times has God's word ever failed? Zilch. And you know what you can do? God, why do you want to bless me? He wants to show you. The sovereign God wants to show you that he will bless your life. All you have to do is have a heart turned toward him. You see a person who teaches with the gift of teaching, he knows that. She knows that. Consider this morning in closing. Some of us are going to die and go to heaven. Some of us are going to die and go to hell. We're created by God the same way. But what's the difference? One person responds to God, his offer of Jesus Christ and his blood. And one person says, you know what? I just don't really believe that. I know some people do, but I'm just not convinced. You may be one that has to die and end up in torment before you're really convinced. But as sure as there's a God in heaven, sure as there's a Son sitting at the right hand of his throne, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And every one of us will live in one of those two based on what we've done with Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Father, we thank you that you have given to each of us that are saved a gift. And Father, I pray for that person this morning that is not saved, or that person who is simply making the things of God so insignificant in their life. Your word has never changed, and your word will never change. You stand the sovereign God. Father, I pray this morning for that person who's without Christ, that they would come. I pray for that person who needs to rededicate their life. I pray for that person who needs to surrender themselves to whatever gift you've given them. Have your will in this invitation. In Jesus we pray. Amen.